Good morning.
Good morning.
Scripture reading from today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church." The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to conclude our series on the seven churches. And as we look at these churches, we've seen different attitudes and different ways the churches has been responding to God and to their surrounding. Some of them seem to be doing good, but they have a fault in others. Some of them, they're kind of a train wreck. And that's the way it is with churches. Some churches, they seem to be one way or another, and though people in those churches aren't always like that church, usually, as we've talked before, there are churches that and places that have a spirit about them. They're a certain way. You can think that if you go to Walmart, you're going to get treated one way. You go to Target, you're probably going to get treated another way. If you go to McDonald's, you're going to be treated one that way. If you go to Chick-fil-A, you might get treated a little different way, right? That's the way it works. In these churches, though God was working in the midst of them, each one of them had a different spirit, a different way of living that was dominant. It showed forth. And some of those churches we look at and we say, yes, we can relate to that very well. The Church of Laodicea, I can be glad to say, I don't see in this church. Because there's a lot going on here. The Church of Laodicea, or the city of Laodicea, was a prominent, wealthy city. One of the main features of it, it had a large amphitheater. And people would go there and they would listen to orators or listen to plays, and they would enjoy this time where they could all sit and enjoy the performance. One of the records say that actually if you performed well, and some of you will figure this out when we get to the end of this, what Jesus said, if you performed well, the people of the city would go down and they would knock at your door and say, "You've done well, let's have meal together." One tradition talked about the fact that if you did well, they would give you gold, good gold. If you performed not so good, well, if you stunk, they would give you iron pyrite. How many of you know what that is? Also called fool's gold. The city was known for being very law-abiding and following it, and it had a large Jewish population. But the one thing about the city that it had that really ties in to what Jesus is going to say is nearby they had two cities, and each one of those cities had a spring. One was cold and refreshing, the other was hot and, you know, had all the good things about having that hot spring. But when it came near Laodicea, these rivers joined together, and the water was kind of just lukewarm. And I mean, I know about you, but how many just really love lukewarm water? I was not about throwing the Martin boys under the bus today, but I was nice to you. I didn't do it. I was going to invite them to want them to have, you can have something nice and hot. Another says, you're going to have a nice cold cup of milk. And one of you is going to drink lukewarm milk that's been sitting out overnight. How many of you think that if we go from oldest to youngest, Lucas would have got shot with a bad one, don't you think, maybe? You think one of your brothers would have drank the bad one? You're not going to say anything, smart man. Then again, maybe, you know. Maybe Kyle would have said, no, I'll be the man, and I'll take that. No? Okay. As we joke about that, though, we know that lukewarm is just sort of yuck. And that's the water in Laodicea. But as Jesus reveals himself to the people of Laodicea, he starts off with something interesting. He says, behold the words of the Amen. Now, how many of you know, when do you say Amen? At the end. Because it means, let it be. I agree. Let's see it done. And Jesus is starting his message saying, I am the Amen. Some scholars believe this has something to do with the fact that probably the church received not just their own letter, but all the letters that were sent out. And Jesus was saying, yes, I agree with all that's coming before. Or all the teachings that you have been told, I am saying, I am the Amen. I am the one who says, it's done. Or let it be. And all those things can be true. And when you think about it, Jesus is the one who says, let it be. He's the one who will wrap everything up. But also Jesus reveals himself as the faithful and true witness. I don't know about you, but I want my friends to be faithful and true. Amen? You want your best friends to be unfaithful and untrue? Anybody into that? I didn't think so. We want our friends, we want our families to be faithful and true. And Jesus says, I am that. I'm not wishy-washy. I'm faithful. I'm true. I follow through. And finally, Jesus says, I am the ruler of creation. In other words, he starts off saying, I'm the one that finished it, and I'm the one that rules it all. I'm the one who started it all. And Jesus talks to this church, and he starts to tell him all the wonderful things they do. Yeah. Nothing. This church was one of only two churches where Jesus had nothing positive to say. He says, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. He says, it's disgusting. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And normally in our culture, we think of hot and cold. We think of hot as someone who's on fire, want to get it done. We think of cold as someone who's negative and against something. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying, I wish you were on fire for me or going to hell. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't excited. Oh, this person decided to reject me fully. No. Jesus isn't into that. What Jesus is saying, he's reminding them about where they live. And he's saying, you have two options of good water where around where you live. One is hot. Now all of you know there's good things that hot can do. If you want to get something clean, if you want to get something straightened out, or a lot of times if you've got muscles that need relaxing, what do you want? You want that hot, that heat on it. If you want coffee, you want it hot. Or maybe you like your coffee cold and refreshing. Cold water has its purposes too. If you're ever in a hospital, it's kind of one way or the other. It's going to be either hot or it's going to be cold. The one thing they don't want is lukewarm, because it doesn't accomplish either thing. It's neither refreshing or cleansing. It's not either one. It's kind of just there. How many realize it doesn't take much to do lukewarm? Sorry. The idea maybe you might think of is that I used here is inattentive. Kind of worked with it, kind of not. Sometimes have you ever gone to a restaurant and you thought that the food was lukewarm? Not really good, not really bad, just sort of there. And you all want to line up for that restaurant, right? How many of you have got people in your life? They're kind of just there. They're not hot, passionate. They're not cool and collective. They're just sort of there. I'm helping out a little bit, but I'm not really doing a lot. I'm supporting a little bit, but just sort of. And that's what was going on in this church. They weren't doing the things that God had called them to do. In the areas of their life, God had given them strength. They were just sort of there, giving partway, being lackluster. They're just not doing their best. And Jesus is saying, don't be one way, or the other. Either be passionate, be cool and collective and refreshing, or be hot and cleansing and do the work of that. Choose a way and do it. Don't be this part committed, part not. One of the ideas you may think of was the fact of if you've got somebody who's your friend, kind of. Now, they're a friend, they're with you, but when they're not with you, they may stab you in the back. You don't quite know what to do with them. Another example of this is from the movie Facing the Giants. Have you ever watched that? One of the Kindred Brothers movies. I love the one scene. This coach has been trying to motivate this football team, and they're just not giving it all. They're just not giving it all. And they said, you could be better than this. He says, you could be better. And they're like, yeah, coach, sure. So the coach picks one of the guys. He says, I want you to do this. I knew if I didn't write it down, I'd forget what it was called. There's this crawl where they crawl down with a guy on their back. And he says, I want you to crawl from here out to the 30-yard line. And he says, but coach, just do it. You can do this. And as he starts off, he's motivating this guy. Keep going. And if you ever watch the show, you know what happens. They go further and further. And after a while, all the guys that are sitting there just like, oh yeah, the coach is trying to motivate us. All of a sudden, they start standing up. And they're watching. And all of a sudden, the guys, he's saying, a little bit further. He says, fine, you can rest now. He falls over. The guy falls off his back. And he says, "Coach, I did the best I could." He said, "Look where you're at." And he opened his eyes because he had blindfolded him. Took off the blindfold, found out he went the entire distance of the field. He said, "You just went farther than you thought you could. Because you haven't been giving it all. You carried a 120-pound guy on your back." And the guy he carried said, "Coach, just a moment. You carried a 120-pound guy on your back, Coach." "Yeah, what is it?" "I'm 130 pounds. It's like, okay. As like, what? How do you do that? Here's the thing, and this is what the coach was pointing out. They weren't giving their all. And because of that, they were failing. Because of that, they had lackluster results, and nobody had any hope because they weren't giving it their all. And Jesus is looking at this church and saying, "You're giving a lackluster performance. You're just giving halfway. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're just sort of there." And this is disgusting. Nobody goes out and when their team does poorly say, "Yes, the Colts gave a great lukewarm performance today." Nobody does that. Nobody goes out, the coach never goes out and says, "I want you because I think you're just sort of so-so." No. In the movie Rudy, this guy wanted to play Notre Dame football. I don't know why I'm using football analogies today. I'm not a real huge football fan, but they fit. This guy wanted to play, and he gave his all. And he wasn't the best player, but you know what? He gave his best. And at one point, the coach said, "If every one of these guys had the passion of Rudy, no one could stop us." What made him stand out? Because he gave everything. And Jesus is saying to this church, "I don't care if your passion is toward the cool or toward the hot, but be committed fully to it." And then he tells this church, he says, "You think you're rich. You think you've got everything together. You're clothed nicely." And the thing is, Laodicea was a rich town. The people there were doing well. One of the things that they were known for is they had eye salve that they sold all across the Mediterranean. They were supposed to help people with eye trouble. They made excellent cloth. And Jesus is saying, "Yeah, you think you're clothed. You think you see, but you're actually blind. You're naked. And you're destitute." Jesus was saying, in the things that really mattered, you're bankrupt. Spiritually speaking, this church was striking out completely. And Jesus, to use a fairy tale, was saying, "Excuse me, the emperor has no clothes. You're naked. And you can't even know it because guess what? You're blind. Except here's the truth. Blind people usually know they're naked. These people didn't even know that. Because they couldn't see. Why? Because they weren't fully committed." And as Jesus says these things to this church, he points out, he says, "Those I love, I rebuke." Jesus isn't coming to this church and telling them these things because they're just horrible human beings and he just wants to beat them up. Jesus loves them and is saying, I want good for you. Come on. Come to me. Buy from me. I'm going to tell you what you need to do here. Come to me. I have the gold that's refined by the fire that make you truly rich. I have the clothes that will clothe you. I have the eye salve that can truly make you able to see if you'll just come to me. Come to me. Buy from me. Here's the thing. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, how can I be what God, what you want me to be? It's by going to him. People will say, oh, look within yourself and find the strength within you and all of this. And there may be strength within you, but only if Jesus is within you. Because he is the one that will give you the strength to overcome. He is the one who'll give you the power to be all you want to, all you need to be. And then Jesus gives this phrase that I find wonderful and also sometimes confusing. Because he's talking to the church, and he gives this saying, he says, I'm at the door knocking. If he's on the door knocking, that means he's on the outside. They've not had him invited him to come in and be with him. And usually where we find ourselves being lackluster, it's because we're not yoked with Jesus. We're not connected with him the way we should be. We're not in communication with him. If you have a friend or a spouse, if you never talk with them, you always keep them away, how many think you're going to get a deeper relationship here? No. You're going to get stronger. If you're going to get a deeper relationship, what do you need to do? You need to have them in your midst. Jesus' command to his disciples was, follow me. His words were, be where I am. Why? Because when we're with him and in his presence, we learn and we can grow. But if we're not, then we sort of fail, become sort of lackluster. Now, I don't believe that this church is a Laodicean church. I see too much good going on. But it's real easy to become that way. It's real easy to sort of just compromise and just, yeah, I'm sort of there. And the one way to guard against that is make sure you're connected with Jesus, that you're spending time with him. And finally, Jesus says, to those who overcome, I will sit on my throne. What is his throne? Well, he told us, I'm the ruler of all creation. He isn't just the ruler of Selma or Jerusalem or even the earth. He's the ruler of all creation. And he says, I will allow you to sit on my throne. Scripture says we are heirs and joint heirs with him. We will have authority in the world to come over all creation. That's kind of impressive. And these people, they were thinking they were doing pretty good. They were we're wealthy, we're good. You said, no, you're not. But I can make you truly wealthy. I can give you true wealth, and I can give you a throne that will be more impressive than anything else you can imagine. But I want you to be all that you want to be. Not just lukewarm, not just half committed, but fully and completely committed to me. And how do we get there? We come into His presence and fellowship with Him. Now, some people may think, you may feel like I'm not doing what I should be doing or what I did in the past. Well, maybe you aren't, and maybe you need to get on fire, or maybe you need to start being more refreshing and cool and giving the right thing along that regard. I don't know. But also, maybe it's just the fact that right now you're at a point in your life, you're like one of the other churches where Jesus says, you're weak, you're doing what you can, don't worry about more. But how do you know for sure? You ask the guy who knows. You ask Jesus. God, am I doing all that I can? Am I doing all that I should? And there you may find Him saying, yeah, we're going to pick on her today. I picked on Beth earlier, so. Jesus may come over and say, you know what? You need to get on the ball. You're just letting this go. Or He may look at you and say, you're doing all you can. Don't beat yourself up. I love you. I watch out for you. And that's what Jesus may be and say to you. But the only way you can know for sure is if you're in His presence. Which brings us back to what Jesus said to that church. Let me come in. Now we're going to sing in a minute. But I want us to spend a few moments in prayer. There are a lot of things in our lives that need prayer, and God, and we, you know, there are people in our lives that need God to move in them in a mighty way. But for this moment, I want us to pray, God, am I where you want me to be? Am I doing what you've called me to do with all of my might? Or God, do I need to be at a place where I just need to rest in you? But I want us to spend a few moments asking God, God, what's going on in me? I want you to make me see the truth. Dale, if you'll come forward and play a little bit of soft music, I want us to just spend a couple minutes in prayer this morning. And you can pray where you're at, or you can come to the altar. I don't care. But let's just ask God, each one of us, God, I want to be what you want me to be. Show me. Am I doing all that you want me to do right now? Lord, am I in the right relationship to you that I should be? So let's pray. Lord, meet us where we're at today. Fellowship with us and show us, Lord. Lord, maybe some here just need you to wrap your arms around them and remind them that you love them. That, Lord, you just need to, Lord, let them know that you are with them in the midst of their struggles. And Lord, that they are where they need to be and need to do no more. For others, Lord, you may, Lord, maybe you need to show us that we need to do more, or maybe even less. But Lord, show us and remind us the preciousness of your presence. That you are there for us to encourage us, to walk with us, to be with us, to laugh with us, and to weep with us. Remind us, Lord, how important it is to be in your presence. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and sing together of His great love. And may the Amen, the one who rules all creation, go with you this week. And may His presence be felt within your hearts as you go forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go with Him.